Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are. But getting back to the why, so just kind of pulling back the curtain a little bit, if I were to ask both of you, what is your why? What is your starting point as we look at your life and your desire to minister to students? What would you point to say, like, this is, if you peel back everything else, my foundation that I'm standing on?
Yeah, for me, the why of youth ministry when it comes to ministering to teenagers, my final goal is looking long term. I really want to try to pare back my presuppositions and my assumptions about youth ministry. Dan, you mentioned kind of taking a look back to, you know, young life in the mid-1950s as things began, not just going along with that model of ministry because that's how we've always done it, or because that's what parents assume, or that's what the call committee was expecting when they hired me, you know, that sort of a thing. But taking a look at what am I going for? And this is long-term faith, you know, creating a situation where the Word of God is being taught, where the Spirit is building and equipping these students so that when they leave our youth ministry, when they head off into college and start jobs and raising families and passing on the faith to their own kids, that these kids are still with it. You know, it's been coined different ways, but it's a sticky faith or a faith that lasts. And that's my why of youth ministry, is preparing these teens for lifelong faith.
Adam took my answer, so.
I was just going to say, Jesus.
Jesus. It was, I think, and we talked a little bit about this back in January, right? The call into ministry, where building relationships with teenagers quickly turned from just this required thing to be for a credit at college into a passion to see kids grow in their faith and knowledge in Jesus, and that happens through relationships. So as you build relationships, to be able to be a voice of truth in their life, to be somebody that they can count on and rely on, to be able to pour into their lives with the love that Jesus has for all of us, right? That unconditional love that we receive from Jesus, and for them to be able to know that he has that love for them, and to be able to live that incarnational relationship out with students was, I think, just the tremendous call into the, not just into youth ministry, but the why, right? Why do this? Because Jesus did the same, right? And we follow our master everywhere. We make this as we make disciples, right? Making disciples, our friends over in First Century Youth Ministry, if you haven't read that book, you need to pick it up because it's tremendous. Heather did a great job. But being a disciple means more than just following people around geographically, right? The disciples are following Jesus around more than just location to location to location. They are listening very carefully to the things that he's teaching them how. When Jesus says, here's how you should pray, the disciples are taking notes, and that is what their prayer life would have become like. They are not just following physically a person. They are modeling and shaping their lives after the person they are following. And that's what it looks like when we're talking about making disciples, right? So when we talk about, Adam, back to your question, right? The first question that launched us into this conversation, are we making disciples of students? And is youth ministry the best way to go about this? It's a way. Is it the strongest way? And that's the kind of interesting perspective on this. And this is my conviction in all of this, is that youth ministry, even though it's not specifically prescribed in Scripture, is a gateway into building relationships with kids to be able to speak God's truth into their lives.
Gateway drug.
Not a gateway drug, Jordan. It's not.
Gateway ministry.
Gateway ministry. That's,
then you become real pastors after you do the youth stuff for a bit.
Oh, don't.
All right.
Don't launch that soapbox. Don't.
You know, that's good. And I think that's really shows the significance of it, though, too, because when we get to our whys, you know, for me, I would personally maybe point to the Great Commission, which might be, you know, tired as far as that goes. But you look at what Jesus calls his followers to do, and he says, your job is to make disciples, and where you're going to be doing that throughout the nations, but you're also going to teach them to obey and follow everything that I've commanded you. And there's so we have the concept of evangelism, but we also have this concept of discipleship and growth and training, equipping, and releasing. And so as I look at that and I look at students, one of the reasons I focus on student ministry is because I also look at this as far as potential goes. If you're going to be pouring your energy into a group of people, students are going to be the ones that might have the biggest trajectory afterwards, right? The longest ability to serve faithfully Jesus and congregations wherever they go. And so I see this as a big equipping and releasing and training thing as well. And so there's this aspect of you know, one of the things that in a book that I'm reading that's talking about following Jesus, we use discipleship quite a bit, but this author uses the terminology of apprentice. And I think if you're looking at an apprentice to a minister, to a expert, I forget what that term is called, a master, there you go. You know, a master baker has an apprentice, and the apprentice lives with and learns and learns a skill and learns the trades and learns how to do that, and then can go and not like be Jesus themselves. That's where the analogy falls short, but you know, adopt that into their own life. And that goes with what you were saying with discipleship and taking on the habits and taking on the skills and the way that Jesus would do it. So, but all that to say that we each kind of have a different flavor of why, I guess, if we're going to be saying this, right? But from that similar foundation, which is all in Jesus, that then impacts everything that we do to try to meet that, right? So Adam, your why, talking about you're looking at long-term goals to be with Jesus and creating an environment where students are going to meet Jesus here, but stick with Jesus throughout, that mindset and that why is going to shape all the stuff that you're going to create. It's going to look, change how you see and perceive things. So in your experience, when you're looking at students who have been a part of your ministry and they're in this silo that's focused just on them, and then you look at students that you've had 10 years ago and where they're at now, and you can see, man, that one just didn't seem to stick. Or, you know, not to say that we're the arbiters of whether a person's with Jesus or not. We can judge the fruit, but we recognize this is up to God. But we can look at that and we can say, upstream, is there a problem that is leading to this point? And I think that's kind of the heart behind where this whole conversation is going. But I want to point us back to that why being so important. And this kind of is what we talked about, and I think one of our D6 conversations too, those underpinning level or under the waterline level stuff that we're working on that leads then to the ministries. And so often when we just start with the how do we do this, when we don't address the whys, we end up with this smattering of things that are just going on, sometimes in perpetuity, because, you know, it's tradition or whatever we've always done, and we don't ever get here. So this is one of the reasons why I'm so grateful for this conversation, because it's challenging the assumption that we've had and really getting us to the foundation and leading us to look to the future and looking outside. And that gets us to the question, is youth ministry as we know it broken? What do you guys think?
My first response to that would be to realize that, you know, I'm going to preface this for a second here, but going back to the question of is it biblical, you know, it's not specifically commanded that thou shalt have a youth ministry, you know, or something like that, but it's not forbidden. It's not something where the Bible, you know, says that this is a wrong thing. And it's in this area in the middle, right, where we have to use good pastoral wisdom with how do we shepherd these young individuals. And so that's something to realize, that this is a tool that we use to accomplish that. And so by extension, then, when we're taking a look at, is it broken? We can take a look at really big generalities across, for example, the United States. What does youth ministry look like? What's our youth ministry culture in the country? But I think it's maybe more beneficial to take a look at within each congregation, recognizing that what works for this church maybe isn't going to be the fix for the other church, you know. So if you have a congregation that really views youth ministry as siloed, and they struggle with intergenerational ministry, you struggle with parental engagement in the life of the faith of their teenager, you might need to take some pretty drastic measures to make sure that they recognize the importance of one body of Christ, intergenerational ministry, the importance of adults in the congregation and parents doing their job, where you might move, at least directionally, towards something that is very much a, I don't remember what you guys called it, but a family integrated, really just to make sure that the congregation understands and knows what's going on. That tool then might actually be the most effective at getting your congregation, your leadership, your parents on board with the direction of youth ministry. But on the flip side, if you have a congregation, and my congregation growing up actually, I think would be a prime example of it. We didn't have a youth director. There wasn't a youth ministry. There was one employee of the church, and it was our pastor. We did a ton of stuff together. You know, once we were done with confirmation, I was in the adult Sunday school class, where family life, congregational life, I had so many adults that I viewed as not physically, but spiritual grandmas and grandpas that poured into my life and came to band concerts and all sorts of different things like that. In that case, you know, we don't need to have a strong message of family integration because we're kind of already there. At that point, maybe the telos, the goal, the thing that we need to communicate is how do we specifically engage our teenagers? Because maybe that's what was missing in that case. So is it broken? I think we're all kind of a little broken. There's a reality of that. But I think it's taking a look at what areas of ministry as we're trying to engage teenagers are broken in this church, in this congregation, and how do we address those needs? Is it a small tweak? I don't know. Do we really need to drastically change the way our ministry looks so people can start to realize maybe we do need to look at something a little bit different? So I didn't really answer your question, but I think taking a look at it on the congregational level is important to identify whether it's broken and how much change there needs to be.
Not answering my question is totally fine, but it leads me to another question for you, Adam. So going back to your experience, when you were dealing with a kind of a context that focused on the silos, and knowing your heart for ministry, how we kind of share just this idea for parents being involved, for the congregation being involved, when you had opportunities to have conversations with leadership, with parents, was there an understanding of what you were trying to communicate, of the here's the importance, or what was that like that you were experiencing as you're going through that?
Yeah, communicating it was something that I really struggled with. It was a challenge for me, and I guess I'll say that I really tried to learn how to do. Because I would share this with our leadership or with our parents. We had a youth advisory board of other adults or parents who were invested in helping our youth ministry and run youth ministry. And I would talk about this, and I would get people who would agree, who would say, yes, we love this. Yes, we want to go this way. But in practice, the things that they wanted to implement, the things that they wanted to do, the expectations that the congregation or the leaders or the youth advisory board had didn't seem to coincide with the different direction of ministry. Does that make sense? Yeah. Even though when we talk about this, everyone seems like they were in agreement on the practical side of things, they were really looking for a siloed ministry. They wanted a strong identity in that group. And when we talked about how do we disciple teens, it is in youth ministry. So that was kind of my experience with it. And I'll chalk most of that up to just my own experience, perhaps, of how do I communicate this and how do I help people understand what we're actually going for.
Yeah. And the reason I asked that is because, like, in my interactions with some parents, and we mentioned this earlier too, where it's not necessarily an unwillingness for parents to be discipling their kids. There's, in some cases, just this kind of fear of, like, I have no idea how to start. This is totally foreign to me. And it's more just like, we don't know how. So I wonder how much of the conversation is lost in translation, in a sense, where the words register, but it's that leap to now how do we implement it that can be the breakdown, versus we're just really stuck in this mentality and want to be here. Not to say that congregation was belligerent. That can be kind of a negative connotation that we certainly don't want to portray in this. Just the experience we have with communicating. And I'd recognize that too as a challenge. Maybe from my side of things, more so dealing with the pullback because we have the professional. And this is kind of why we're entrusting this to you, because you're best equipped to handle it, I guess. And yeah, so that's something that I'm wrestling with too. How do I lead the congregation, even lead the leaders to catch this vision, to catch this bigger umbrella for ministry, for a whole congregation that filters down and impacts the ministry to youth? Dan, what do you think on all of this stuff? Because you've been kind of quiet over there.
Well, I think Adam had, for not thinking that he had an answer, he had a pretty good answer. I think when with your question, right, is youth ministry broken? It really depends on what the destination is. If your church is approaching youth ministry for the sake of being able to say, hey, we have a youth ministry, then yeah, I would say it's broken. That's a broken view. And that's a attitude that I think you would have to really struggle to change slowly after time. To use your illustration, right? Turning an aircraft carrier with a tongue depressor. I am stilling that for later.
It is very depressing when you think about it.
Yeah. And ministry and church life in general is this big shift. It's this big ship, right? It's this big thing that doesn't turn very slowly. And speaking as millennials and younger generations, why doesn't this move faster? Why doesn't this change? Because we're so used to the world changing that quick. It's like, that's not usually the way churches operate, or even organizations, even businesses, right? Will take years to implement fundamental changes and to see the impact of those changes over the course of time. So it does take time. So if youth ministry is the destination that you're going for, and not the bridge into the greater life of the church, then yeah, it's broken. Even in youth ministry, right? If the programs that you have, if the things that you have planned out, if the events, the outings, the camps, the retreats, the lessons, the curriculum, the games, everything, if that's the destination, you're going to be working in a broken system as well. I forget who said this. It was, what you win people with is what you win people to. So if you have these huge lock-ins, right, with multiple inflatables, and you get somebody coming in for like a concert or something like that, you're going to have, that's going to be the bar that you've set, and people are going to expect this. And if you're not going to entertain people more than this last time, then you're going to lose people, because that is what they've been won to. And youth ministry, and I realize I'm painting with a broad brush in all of this, youth ministry, if the goal is discipleship, you're working in a healthy framework. You have a proper idea of the why you're doing this. You're being the champion of not just youth ministry, but family ministry as well in your church. You're the voice to be able to help encourage, at least put a little bit of pressure in that direction, to be able to turn that ship in that way. I've compared this to trying to bend some of the bars on a wrought iron fence, right? Where you're pulling back, and you're like, oh, okay, we're really good. And then you let go of the fence, and it just kind of springs back into form. And you've done all of this work to try and shift it, and it's not as bent maybe as you wanted it to be, but it is bent a little more than it used to be. So we tend to look for these big signs of fruit and big signs of growth and development and health in our ministries, when really the kingdom of God works incrementally and small. So if you're looking and are wondering and asking yourself this question along with us, right, is youth ministry broken? How do I look for health in my ministry? You got to be looking for the small little fruits of and signs of God working in the lives of teenagers. Maybe that's them doing something that wasn't expected, or something that they might not have been comfortable with in the years before. Maybe that's even them inviting a friend to come join for whenever you have the formal midweek programming for your group. You know, that's a big step. That's a big leap. Maybe, we've had, speaking recently here as we're recording this, I asked a question that was kind of hypothetical in our sermon on Sunday, and one of the kids in the church said yes. Like, he actually answered the question. And it caught everybody off guard because, you know, Lutheran churches, somebody talked during the sermon. Oh, no. You know, and there was a small little, like, that people just kind of it shocked people into awareness. That's absolutely right. You know, talking to the kid and to go up to the parents and said, "You guys are doing great. Like, I actually love interaction during the messages." So do not discourage him from doing that again, by all means.
Well, I have my kids in the front row. They can get picked up and heard the best.
Oh, man. So I guess that's kind of where I'm coming from in all of this. It really matters where the destination is. And if youth ministry is the goal, we're already in trouble. But if making followers of Jesus is the goal, then I think we're on the right track.
And even in that, there's a lot of breadth that we can do, too. And I think that's helpful to recognize. Like, so you mentioned what you win them with, you win them too, right? We can talk about a lock-in. That doesn't mean that you can never do a lock-in or do a fun event. I think it's just like, where does that fit in your purpose of things? And is the core of your ministry going to be present within that event?
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.